Good morning, everyone. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you again as we continue our time of worshiping you, of praising you, of praying to you, of hearing you from your word, O God. Lord, as we turn to Psalm 46 this morning, I pray that you would speak to us, that you would comfort us, that you would work by your Spirit within our very souls, O God, to lift us up, to help us to see you truly as you are, O Lord God. That by your grace and your mercy we would behold you and worship you and be drawn to you, O God. So come now in this time, please, by the power of your Spirit and in your love for us, your people, O God. Come and do your mighty work within us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Life is hard. I'm not denying by saying that in any way that life is beautiful. There is much beauty in this life. God has created the world and created us, and yes, sin has torn it asunder and has distorted and twisted everything. But there is still beauty and goodness and joy. And there's also hardship that comes. I know that many people have been thinking about that as we've been so long now in this state of quarantine and semi-quarantine and global pandemic. It's such a strange and difficult time. Life continues, and so we adapt. We find ways to get on. We find ways to do work and do school and get things done. We find ways to handle our doctor's appointments and maintaining contact with people. And because life has to go on, there's a sense in which we can just put behind us the struggle and the challenges, the hardship that comes from just this one example that affects all of us around the globe. Never mind individual challenges and struggles that come in along the way and don't wait until a pandemic ends. But there is a weight from the pandemic, just that by itself, just taking that one thing. There is a weight, there is a wearing against the soul that is hard. And it's one that we can't fix and we can't control. I'm so done. Many of you have said that. We've all said that. So done with the pandemic. And yet, I don't have that choice. None of us do. And so even just this one example that's universally shared by us, life is hard. Life is hard in a million other ways also. And I know that the answer to life is hard is Jesus. We turn to Jesus. And I believe that's true. I believe that's absolutely true. But God never just tells us, do this. He never just gives us the command of what to do. He always gives us the why, the undergirding strength, which is always who He is. And so as we face hardships in life, yes, God is the one we turn to. But what does that mean? What is it within God are we turning to? Why are we turning to Him? What does it mean to turn to Him? Why can we? And what does that bring about? Well, I believe in our psalm this morning, Psalm 46, that God Himself is declaring to all of us His triumphant victory over all areas of life. So that when we say, it's to you we look, it's to you we have our refuge, it's to you that we hide ourselves in, it's you that we see who it is that we are seeking, who it is that we are running to. I'm sure if we had a 10-question multiple choice test right now, you know, many of us would be able to score pretty well if we were to say who God is and give us different aspects of who God is. But God gives us His Word because it is in the reading of it, the declaring of it, the meditating upon it, in which God works the truths of His Word into our hearts and in our souls. And so because life is hard, we need Psalm 46. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 46 as we read along. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is God's word. This psalm in various areas of creation and therefore of our lives declares that God is over all. God is over all things, all of us. And there is a starting point for us in who it is that we turn to, God, in who God is that we trust in Him in the midst of the reality that life is hard. God is over all. First, in this psalm, in verses 1 through 3, we see that God is in the midst of our trouble, over it, sovereignly over it. As Lord, He is over it. Not over it in terms of being like beyond it, like, oh, that's not a big deal. No. This psalm is going to declare, in the midst of the troubles that assail us, God is there. God is with us. God is in it. And He is over all the problems. Verses 1 through 3. These are some of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. It's one thing if you have a friend who is there all the time but has no power. It's nice to have a friend, it's good, but they can't really help you. It's something to have, if God, being all-powerful as He were, but if He wasn't with us, if He wasn't present with us, if He was off doing other things, or If our problems were just too small for him to even worry about, there would not be a help there. But God is our strength. God is our refuge, the place to which we run. And yes, I say it again, hide ourselves, not hide from the world, not hide from our problems. And He is an ever-present help. When we are in trouble, in the midst of difficulties of life, and notice in these verses, we'll see in 2 and 3, how he describes them, but they're not specific. He's not pointing to one situation of trouble. And so they're intended by God to be for all of our troubles. Whatever troubles, whatever hardships assail us, God is our strength and refuge, and God is present. I love that phrase. A very present help in trouble. And so when we encourage each other with the words, God is with you, that is no small thing. God Almighty, God our refuge, our fortress, our defender, is with you in the midst of every trouble that comes in life. Brothers and sisters, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are never alone. There are many times when we feel alone, whether it's because of isolation or solitude, or whether it's because we feel misunderstood. No one understands where we are or what we're going through. Those are lies. Satan can often twist that and distort that within us, because God has promised that He is strong and He is always, always with us. Now, we may take exception with that and say, yeah, well, I'm going through really hard things. Where's God right now? I know that's often the struggle that we have, is we cannot see Him. We cannot see what He is doing. I get that. But the truth of God's Word is that He is with us. Not if only if we feel it, not only if we understand it, He is with us. And upon that rock, our faith must be built. He then goes on to describe in verses 2 and 3 the extreme nature of the situations in our life, of the turmoil, the tumult in our lives, the hardship in which we can still trust God. We will not fear though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. The earth itself, the mountains, strong and mighty, two things that should not move. They are intended to be solid. Those are things that we trust upon. And yes, there are earthquakes, which I think at times will awaken us to the fact that all the very things that we think are permanent are not. But still, we depend upon the earth. If we couldn't depend upon the earth being solid and immovable, we couldn't live. We couldn't go about our daily life. We couldn't walk down the street. We couldn't get in our car and drive to school or drive to work. And God says, even if that unfathomable thing were to happen, God is present. Can you picture Mount Everest all of a sudden lifting up into the sky and being dropped into the middle of the Pacific Ocean? No. But were such a thing, unimaginable as it is, to happen, God is strong and our refuge, and He is present with us. It's intentionally going to these extreme things that cannot happen to show that even in the most severe circumstances, God is with us. And He is our strength. And He is our refuge. Goes on in verse 3, though its waters, the sea's waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. So now there's a picture here of something that's that is movable. Something that shifts, right? The oceans, the sea, the waves, as they crash up against the mountains. Ocean's big. And it's nice to get in a boat and go along the shore of the ocean. But we know that out in the depths or in the middle of a storm with the churning, that's a scary place. A place in which we have no control. Now, I think there may be a picture here in verse 3 of demonic forces and their attack. It's not shown often in the scriptures. There's a lot of other writings from other religions that take place around the ancient Near East, around the time of the scriptures, that often have this connection with demonic activity and the seas roaring and raging. It's kind of a picture there of this, you know, churning water and the churning of evil forces. Which is why I believe that in the book of Revelation, when it describes heaven and the sea was as calm as glass, as clear as glass, it's a picture there of no more evil. No more evil. Gone. Everything is goodness now. And so this picture here of things we can't control, the churning of the waters, these things that we cannot in and of our own strength defeat, the attacks of the evil one, even then, God is our strength and our refuge, an ever-present help in trouble. And so, sisters and brothers, there is nothing that you or I will go through in our life. There is no time, no situation where God is not with us, where God is not in control. And so we trust Him. God in the midst of trouble. The second part of the psalm in verses 4 through 7 describe God in the city. God in the midst. God over all, including over the city. Now I know for many of us who live in Metro West, the idea of a city doesn't seem very relevant, doesn't seem very pertinent to us. We significantly live in suburban areas here. The picture here, though, of a city is really speaking to civilization and it's under attack. So the city is God's city. And it's describing life under attack. For there are enemy forces that are coming against God's city. And these descriptions here are of, again, not a specific attack. We can't pinpoint this to one specific time in which the city of Jerusalem was attacked. There's no specifics there. But it is speaking of an actual military or repeated military battles here in this verse. So first, it describes the city. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That's a picture there of a vibrant, thriving, living, abundant, the river giving life to the city. And what city is it? It is the city of God. It is the place where He dwells, where the Most High has His holy habitation, as the end of verse 4 declares. He's in the midst of the city. So picture that. The city, as it will begin here, is under attack. And if you've read through the Old Testament, you know so many of the horrific, overwhelming attacks that God's city, that Jerusalem, underwent. Ones in which it was impossible for them to overcome in their own strength. And in the midst of what would be terrifying, to have your home be assaulted, to have your community be physically under siege. We're told here by God that in the middle of that city, in the middle of our homes, in the middle of where we dwell, God is right there with us. And so therefore, end of verse 5, she, the city, shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. I think the picture there is that in the morning, the assault is going to come. And you're all nervous through the night and the darkness, not knowing what's going to happen, and God is there. It's not saying God disappears for the night. It's saying when the attack comes, God is there. I think it also references, in Exodus, says the Israelites came up to the Red Sea, and they couldn't go any further because the sea was blocking them, and they saw Pharaoh and his army coming up behind them. And so they're assaulted. What would it feel like in that moment? I understand their grumbling when they say, "If you brought us out here to die, we can't go forward, we can't go backwards, we're stuck here, we're going to die, we don't have an army, we have nothing to defend us." And yet the Lord our God was with them. And so the Scriptures declare that throughout the night, after God had placed the pillar of cloud behind them to block them from view from the Egyptians, God's Spirit blew across the surface of the water for the night and opened it up. And then, at the dawn of when dawn came, they proceeded through. God rescued them in the morning dawn. I think that's part of the picture here in verse 5. What are the troubles they're under? The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. Everything around them is going crazy, is going insane. Massive enemies are coming against them. It's something that, again, from a physical standpoint, I think is so hard for me to imagine, having lived in America all my life, not in the middle of a war time. How terrifying it would be. How many nations right now are under siege and have conflict so that the civilians, their lives are turned upside down, that they are refugees across the globe, that they have nowhere to flee to because the nations are coming against them. And in the midst of all that power, which we individually are helpless against, the end of verse 6, God utters His voice and the earth melts. All those powers, all that force that's arrayed against God's people, God speaks and it's done. There is no power that can face God. It's not even a close fight. God just speaks. And the whole earth could melt away if He willed it. Therefore, let us remember in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. He is our fortress. When life gets turned upside down, and trouble assails us in any form, when our physical well-being even is put in jeopardy individually or corporately, God is with us. the third and final part of this psalm in verses 8 through 11, declaring God is over all, that He is over all the earth. This now expands and speaks about creation, but expands it to all things here. Looking at God's complete sovereignty over all things. Starts in verse 8 with an invitation. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth, His power, throughout all the earth, His will. Here's what else He does. Verse 9, He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. The nations, the world, the very earth itself, in its sinfulness, can see itself as a power over God, or to see it as there is no God, and both are wrong. God is not the God of America. He's not the God only of Israel. God is the God of all the earth and all creation, all the all the galaxies. He is Lord over all. And we are invited to come and to behold Him, to look at what His hands have done, that we would worship not the creation, but the Creator behind them all. That we would look at the work of God's hands in creating a flower and see beyond that to the Creator. That we would see the sky at night with all the stars and see God in that. In the midst of all these global powers that it's speaking about, that God is over, in the midst of all this cacophony, there's a sharpness to this psalm. Some of the verses, especially in that second section, they're very short, very direct. Right? There's mountains crashing, there's seas churning, there's nations at war. Everything is falling apart, and it's reminding us that God is in control of it all. And then the call in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And then the reminder again, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies is with us. Is with us. Remember what Jesus promised us at the end of the book of Matthew as He was to go away, as He was to, before He ascended, after His resurrection. Jesus had died on the cross for our sins. Jesus rose again from the dead by the power of God, so that even death God has victory over. And Jesus tells His disciples, and through them to us, says, I am with you always. I am with you always. It must have been terrifying for the disciples right then. And then Jesus speaks the words, I am with you always. So can we help each other this week? Because I tell you, I strongly suspect that I will have trouble remembering at some point throughout this week that in the midst of hardship of life that God is really with me. That my faith is going to be shaken. That I'm going to be distracted somehow because of the problems and the hardship. And even though we've just looked at this powerful passage in Psalm this morning, could be as soon as this afternoon or tomorrow or sometime this week where I will struggle to remember this and to believe it and to take comfort from the truth that God is over all and He's with us. He's with me. He's with you. Can we help each other this week to hold on to that truth? To humbly, with love and compassion, remind each other that God is over all. He's over the pandemic. He's over the politics and all parties and the election and all the nations of the world and all the injustices and all of the struggles and all of the challenges and all of the horrific things. God is over them all. Can we trust Him? Believing Him and taking Him at His word. And in so doing, live. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You that You are with us. You promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. You promised to be with us always. You sent Your Spirit to dwell within us, O God. Lord, please turn our hearts, our minds, our bodies to You, Lord. That we may trust You. Believe in You as the One who is over all in Your mighty power. Over all our hardships. That we would be still and know that You are God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.